Hood Day Podcast audience, and welcome to the KHPP's Tuesday Night Sick Call. As always, hosted by Federal Injury Center's Tom Giampa. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Kenny, how you doing?
Hey, listen, man. We got such a massive feedback on a show we did a couple of months ago. My supervisor said they found it to be very factual and somewhat humorous, man. So, you know, I like to give the audience what they like. So let's see if we can get together tonight and put together some My Supervisor Says for the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Just by the way, guys, if you guys, supervisor said anything to you that you want us to answer on our show, go ahead and just submit that, and we'll go ahead and answer that specifically. Kenny.
Go ahead.
Here's one that we come up on frequently. My supervisor says, I'm going to controvert your claim. My response, who cares? I don't care what your supervisor says. I don't care if your supervisor controverts your claim, controverts your COP, controverts your pay. Whatever they controvert, your doctor is going to prove medically with a narrative. I don't care what your supervisor says they're going to do or they're going to allow you to do or anything like that. Your supervisor can wake up in the morning and say, no matter what happens today, 100% that comes on my plate, we're going to controvert. And I'm saying to you, we don't care what your supervisor says. If we can back it medically, we're going to submit it to OWCP and get you the help that you need. Don't be too worried about that part.
Now, let me say to my podcast audience, please do not confuse I don't care with being disrespectful to that supervisor. Don't mix it too. The fact of what we're saying is I don't care. Is I don't care what you think or what you say, Mr. and Mrs. Supervisor. But I'm not going to be disrespectful to you and allow Absolutely. You to bring some other erroneous charges against me. So let's keep it in perspective. And when we say we don't care, we don't care. But we are very professional in how we explain that to you. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. Always be respectful when you're talking to your supervisor because it's definitely not going to help you to be disrespectful. I'm just saying, in your mind, we don't care.
And notice, okay? We didn't say they deserve your respect. But that's just right. What we asked. Hey, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So another one we get is, my supervisor said they're going to send me out for a second opinion. What do you think the answer to that is, Kenny?
I'm going to have to lean on the ledge and say, we don't care.
We don't care. Who cares? Who cares what your supervisor says? Go to the second opinion doctor. If you have a legitimate claim, your doctor will back it up, refute that second opinion doctor's negative statements and agree with the ones that he can't agree with, and then move forward and you'll be perfectly fine. So we've had multiple patients come through and have two second opinions, okay? Now, I don't know if you understand numbers, Kenny, but when you have a second opinion and then you have a second opinion, yep. Do you think they're trying to get your case closed or trying to help you?
That's not like I want to close that out.
They got you going out to your second opinion doctor right now. Someone told you the answer is, in my mind, I don't care. Who cares? You're going to go anyway. All right. The reason is because everything that's sent back on that second opinion doctor, and this does happen. It does happen infrequently, though. You're going to have the same opportunity that you had the first time. You're going to be able to bring letter, narrative report that they write back to your own doctor to have them refute the claim. Okay?
So, what about my supervisor said, since I got injured last week and I'm just now telling them that they're going to give me discipline.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. We hear this one a lot. I want you in the audience to just imagine in your mind how I'm going to respond to this. What do you think? Exactly. No one cares. Bueller, does anybody care? No one cares, okay? That's the deal. Just file your claim anyway. When your claim gets approved, that disciplinary action still may be there, but they're going to go, they have an accepted claim. So what are they going to fight against you for? They'd literally just be fighting to fight at that point. Okay. Now, something we hear frequently is, my supervisor says I'm not filling out the CA-17 duty status report. Now, if you don't know what the CA-17 duty status report is, it is what restricts your ability to do certain functions at work. So if you're required to lift 70 pounds, they might put in there you're only allowed to lift 5 pounds. The left side of the form is supposed to be filled out by the supervisor before it gets to your doctor, so that your doctor can fill on the right-hand side with using the information that's been populated on the left-hand side. Now, your supervisor says, I'm not filling it out before your doctor's appointment. The answer in your mind only is going to be, who cares? Because I'm just going to go to my doctor's office and tell them my supervisor didn't fill out the left-hand side. Please use an OWCP 5C. This is a functional capacity evaluation form, and it does the same exact thing as the CA-17, but if you bring the CA-17 back and the information on the right-hand side is the only part that's populated and nothing that your supervisor filled, nothing was filled out by your supervisor on the left-hand side, they can reject that form.
See, now, just a quick interjection, because the end result will be the same.
Exactly.
But in a situation like that, my advice to you, a little more complicated. When you ask for that 17 and they won't give it to you, you go get yourself to a computer and you email that request. And if they don't respond to that with a completed CA-17, I would not make any other attempt to get it. I wouldn't do it. That's just me. Because I'm going to show, and again, it's important that you have an email and not a phone call requesting that 17, because a lot of times, and I'm seeing this because I represent employees in redress, a lot of it's pertain to discrimination with injury compensation. But I see where postal management has 17s pre-filled out that really don't apply to your job as they should.
Exactly.
But if they refuse to give you any completed documentation, your doctor is not required to fill that form out. Now, again, I'm big on making management do what they're supposed to do, and then we'll do what we're supposed to do. I stand hard on if they won't do what they're supposed to do, they're going to accept what it is that we bring to them. And I'll show you how that works. All right, let's get back to what my supervisor said.
All right, well, I want to hit on something you just said there, okay? The reason why you want to have an email versus a phone call is because if you were to go to court, if this was get put in front of some sort of committee, a phone call is called nothing or hearsay. An email is called evidence. It's called evidence, okay? As long as you can show that you sent that, that is all the legal evidence that you need. And then if they responded back, then they respond back or not.
Okay? And I know this is an injury compensation podcast, but let me tell you something. Postal management is smart enough not to know how to do the right thing, but they're smart enough to know when you start sending emails and they understand email traffic is forever. I mean, listen to what I'm saying to you. And if you think I'm joking, send your supervisor an email as opposed to a phone call. I guarantee you're going to get a response back. Guarantee it. Yep. So when I say, and again, you got to understand, this is one of those times where if they won't fill out the form and you send them an email and they still don't, now the Department of Labor gets involved, what's going to happen is that supervisor is going to tell other supervisors, oh, wow, this is what they're doing now. But you know what the bottom line is? Other supervisors will respond. And that is all we are really trying to get done here.
Yep, exactly. Now, we hear this one. My supervisor said I can't file a CA-1 or a CA-2. We do hear that periodically. Okay, now we'll tell you that is out of bounds 100% of the time. Okay, if you want to file a CA-1 or a CA-2, even a false claim, you're entitled to do that. That will get fleshed out during the adjudication process. I'm not saying file false claims. I want to be clear on that. I'm saying they need to help you file regardless. Okay, during the normal process of how these claims get adjudicated or processed is another way, and then decided on the outcome, this is called adjudication, okay? That will all get fleshed out during that period. My advice to you is only 100% of the time file legitimate claims. My point, though, is we don't care if they say we can file or not.
We don't care.
Okay? Now, look, one of the absolute most difficult cases to get accepted, and we are starting to see them get accepted more now, are any type of mental health claims. Or somebody has an injury that's on the inside. They look totally normal on the outside. And your supervisor is saying something to the effect of, well, you look fine. Well, looks can be deceiving. Okay? You ever heard of being catfished? I mean, my goodness. Okay. Yeah, I mean, looks are deceiving. So we know that for sure. But here's the deal. When they say, oh, you can't file, in your mind, you go, who cares what you say? I'm filing regardless. And if they don't, and we don't recommend filing on paper anyway, right, Kenny?
No, we don't.
No.
Everything is e-com.
ecomp.dealworld.gov, that circumvents them as much as possible and allows you to file. Don't ever, 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 even if you sign a declination form, let anybody tell you you can't file now if your date of injury is within 3 years of today's date, okay? Now, I want you to pay close attention to the answer on this next one. Kenny, jump in.
See, because all we're hearing is our response or the supervisor's response that we don't care. But now, let me ask you a question, Tom. My supervisor said, "I cannot attend doctor's appointment during work hours."
Now we care.
Oh, we care.
Now. Oh, we care now. We care. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Now we care.
We care. Okay. Yeah. There was something we were going to care about.
Oh, we're going to care about this for sure, and we're going to care real hard. And the reason for that is because you got hurt at work. You got hurt during your work shift during work hours. Okay, and you get therapy during that time. If you go and get therapy, doctor's visits, whatever it is, after your work shift, do you know how you get compensated for that on a CA-7? You don't. You can't. You've lost, okay? So if you work all day, and they'll go to a doctor's office, an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it turns out to be, and then you try and claim that after hours time on your CA-7, do you know how much dollars you're going to get back? It rhymes with zero, okay?
Yeah. Well, stay with the zero.
Yeah.
But you know what? I am amazed at the postal employees who are not aware of that simple fact that if you got hurt at work, you go to the doctor at work. Because particularly in Columbus, Ohio, where I work, they play so many games with those employees that get injured checks. They play so many games with switching their hours around. The most employees who are injured at work want to stir the pot, the least. Even if they're not getting taken care of properly, they settle with, well, most of what I'm entitled to is better than none of what I'm entitled to.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. Especially if you're unionized, okay? That, you being unionized is a huge benefit to you. Because when they say no and you know what's your right, your response back, and you know it's your right. Don't get foolish with somebody if you're like 50-50 on it, okay?
Hey, if you're wrong, play along. Only give them a fight if you know you're right.
Exactly, okay? Never, ever give up your rights because you might be being pushed around, bullied a little bit. Don't do it. Don't do it, because if you do it today and then in several weeks from now you bring in a CA-17 that's restricting you further at work, they're going to want you to go over on that too because you gave them an inch today. And when you bring in that CA-17 and you heard already, what they're going to expect from you is a half mile and then three quarters of a mile and then a mile until you're doing your full duty on a CA-17 that is severely restricted. Don't ever, 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 not even once, do anything that's outside of your restrictions on your CA-17.
Let me also, as we get ready to put this show, my supervisor said, to bed, let me say to the audience who listens, it would not be a bad idea if you all went to work after hearing this show and asked your supervisor for the CA-17 job restrictions directly related to the job you do today. And again, this is pre-injury, we're not planning for injury. I want you to see what the requirements or the restrictions are for the job that you do right now. And number one, you're going to get a good chuckle out of how canned they are and how they really don't apply to what you do. And now is the best time to address it before it becomes necessary. I mean, for example, if you're a driver, you're a senior mail handler in the unit, you're level 5, you're going to drive a forklift every day. You and I both know that you are never picking up anything unless you pick it up with that forklift. But now on the CA-17 for the forklift driver, you may see weight restrictions being able to lift 70 pounds. We know that don't take place. See, and these are some of the things with that CA-17 that we could be proactive as. We can be proactive to get it adjusted and changed to what it actually is now. So if someone in that area was to get injured, at least they could be evaluated properly on whether or not they could return to work.
Yeah. So your supervisor says you can't go to your doctor, you can't get therapy while at work. Your response in your mind is, who cares? I'm definitely going. What you'll want to do is give them the schedule printed out from your doctor's office. This will help. Now, what if they say you're not going? Immediately, if you're unionized, get someone to help you talk to them, okay? If they don't help, call human resources. There is help for you available at your agency that will set this person straight. You just have to reach out to them, okay? If that person, your supervisor, is not helping you, then you have to find somebody above them, human resources, injury comp department, that will get you the help. You are allowed to go to your doctor's and therapy's appointments during your work shift. And when you do that, you will get compensated for that time. If you go after your work shift, you are now on your own time and you will not be compensated for that. Okay?
And that concludes our Tuesday night sick call. My supervisor said, hey, again, the attempt was to be somewhat humorous, but always factual. Have a good day. We'll talk to you when we talk to you.
Good night, everybody.